There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
So what's going on at the Lindo wing at the moment, Natalie Lindo Taylor?
The Duchess of Cambridge, so that's Kate Middleton, has had a baby boy, and the royal babies are born in the Lindo wing.
Yes, which is, of course, an endowment from the Lindo clan of Jamaica.
Yes. Yes, we made a sufficient, substantial contribution to the imperial group, and they built a wing in honour of us.
It is. I mean, it's very nice. Somebody has a baby. That's a big thing. This is obviously big news. It's a royal baby. I get that. But I'm looking at the pictures, and I can see nothing but Lindo wing above the policewoman, I believe, their police person's head.
It says here, the money to build the Lindo wing was donated by an anonymous benefactor, although the new wing was named after him. So funny.
Okay, not such great attempts at anonymity there, but there you are. Who knows which Lindo it was?
I think it was my great 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 grandfather, Frank Charles Lindo.
Frank Charles Lindo. Yeah. All right, well, there we know. So that's one story today. Other stories, Danny Norton's here. Nice to see you.
Great to be here.
Danny, so let's look at what you're covering today for the Area News Centre. First of all, you've been down at the Dubai World Trade Centre. This is an event themed around transport, so let's start there.
Yeah, absolutely. I was down there this morning for the opening of the UITP MENA Transport Congress and Exhibition. So it's being held by UITP, which is basically an international transport association group organisation, and also the Roads and Transport Authority here in Dubai. It's an event that brings together experts and decision makers from around the region and further afield as well. One of those who has flown in from quite some distance, Vancouver to be precise, is the internationally renowned city planner Brent Toderian, and he gave the keynote speech this morning on how cities can improve urban mobility and also why it's so important to focus on city planning and getting that absolutely right for more than just getting around. And I have to say, I found his talk absolutely fascinating. I really did. It was a fantastic half an hour or so speech. And he also started by praising Dubai for the speed at which the city has developed its public transport system. I know that he arrived here a couple of days ago. He said that he spent yesterday kind of going all around Dubai, having a little bit of a tour anyway. And he certainly, one thing he did mention is how Dubai, there's almost two Dubais, he said. There's a pre and post 2006. And he was especially impressed with the transit line. He compared its development over the last, 12 years to the transit line in his native Vancouver, which is world renowned as well, as being an absolutely world class facility. But that's taken, you know, 3 decades and more to develop, and that's so certainly very very praiseworthy of Dubai's speed at which it's developing its transport here.
Okay, so you spoke about how cities can improve mobility, Danny. What was the solution?
Well, essentially, he says it's to switch the focus away from cars. And he says, in fact, actually, cars are at the bottom of his list. He had a slide that came up which showed essentially an inverted pyramid, if you will. They did have cars at the bottom of the list, because he said that cities that are designed to work for cars work actually for no one, not pedestrians, not cyclists, not even drivers themselves. And he gave facts, he gave figures, he gave examples to back up that position. And he also showed as well that the more lanes you have on your roads, the more cars and congestion you have. And I know that's a bit of a contradictory statement, perhaps, maybe doesn't quite make much sense. We had this wonderful quote to explain it, saying that adding more lanes to solve traffic issues is like loosening your belt to solve obesity. I thought it was quite a humorous way to explain it, is thinking with it. You mentioned cities around the world that have taken what you might say are extreme steps, for example, removing freeways from the centre of cities, and have actually improved things dramatically. You mentioned Bogota, you mentioned Seoul, even his own Vancouver, which doesn't have a single freeway through the centre of the city as well. And as we all know, Vancouver tends to rank highly when it comes to numerous kind of indexes on happiness and that anyway. But I spoke to him after his speech and I asked the question, so if the focus isn't going to be on cars, what should it be on and exactly why?
Walking and biking, not just for exercise or for sport, but for mobility, for equity and enjoyment of the city. If you can create a multimodal city, it will work better for everyone, including drivers. So this isn't about being anti-car. This is about a city that works better for everyone, including drivers, works better for people.
Okay, so that's the ideal, but I would contend that for 4 or 5 months of the year, it's very hot. It would be very hard in my own head, Danny, to see that working perhaps in Dubai.
Yeah, it's an interesting point to raise now, but no, he was very clear that it certainly can work, and he gave examples from elsewhere in the world, you know, some of the hotter cities in Australia, which have moved the focus and works absolutely fine. He said, no, it's absolutely something that can be done. He explained that no city is the same, but they all have certain things in common, and if you've got the infrastructure in place, then anything is possible. And he told me that essentially Dubai, of all places, is the place to achieve it.
The inspiring focus on public transit since 2006 shows that this can be done. I'm sure there were people at the time who said, why are we focusing on public transit? Nobody's going to want to take public transit. Well, if you design a terrible public transit system, they're right, nobody will. But if you design a great public transit system, people are using it. The transit ridership in Dubai has raised from 6% to 18% since 2006, and they want it to raise to 30% by 2030. That's remarkable. And that's ambitious, and that's great vision. And can you imagine how many cars and lanes of traffic that will replace? My sense is working, listening to RTA and learning from RTA yesterday, they have that vision.
So interesting comments from him there as well, and just talking about kind of, you know, moving the focus away from cars. And a lot of people out there will be thinking, well, I like using my car, I want to use my car. And he said, that was a point that I put to him, and he basically answered me, well, that's fine. Use your car then, but wouldn't it be better for you if we can encourage your neighbours to walk, to use bikes, to use public transport instead, and therefore it's going to free up more space for you as well. Just goes back to the point as well that you made there, talking about kind of things at the height of summer. For example, he said, well, every single city around the world has certain, you know, challenges, so to speak. You know, there's certain cities where you might not be able to cycle in the winter because it's too cold. There's going to be ice. There's going to be snow on the ground, that kind of thing. But even if you're just achieving it for three quarters of the year, it's worth it, and it'll make such a massive difference. Thing, and I think it's such a positive outlook to have there anyway. And that was Brent Todorin, who's a renowned city planner, and like I say, just many wonderful ideas he had. I know he's been speaking to officials here, RTA officials. He spoke to the leaders, in fact addressed part of his speech to the leadership here as well, and certainly believes this is a place where things can improve, can get better when it comes to mobility.
There's another point I suppose to be made as well, because so many of us drive cars. Dubai is a driving city. The UAE is very much a driving country. We've got great roads, we've got great access, bridges are being built, etc. We all know that we need to move to walking or cycling or public transport where we can. But if we did all take a step back and move to public transport, if you could, it's not feasible for everybody, and I get that, but if you could, we hear very often about the fact that we move at great speed and we move in haste, and because we all have a car, we tend to leave it to the last minute because you think, I can jump in the car and get there in 10 minutes. And if we didn't take that approach, we would all kind of slow down a bit. Wouldn't that also be good for us?
I think it would be, actually, and it kind of ties in a little bit. So that's the kind of the health benefit, really, isn't it? And that was the other benefits that you mentioned as well during his keynote speech, is that you do have things like health. You know, we all know about the cardiovascular issues we have worldwide, the obesity issues, that kind of thing. And walking and cycling are certainly helping. Also, the impact on the climate change as well, taking more cars off the road, as we all know, is going to lower carbon emissions and just be more environmentally friendly.
You do need companies to get on board and support, though, really, because the thing is, you maybe want to be able to go and have a shower. If you're going to be able to cycle to work, there needs to be somewhere to store your bike. There needs to be somewhere you can sort of go and get a shower. So I think when there's incentives like that, if everybody works together, it's not, you know, that it's kind of everyone's responsibility. So there needs to be something in place so that you can.
You're right, and it's not as though people don't want to. Look, here's a text in now. We run a cycling program. I don't know who it's from, but we run a cycling program, have done for 10 years. We've seen a huge increase in things like cycling tracks. They're going in everywhere. Something like, I believe, 1,000 kilometres planned. I'm not sure if that's entirely accurate, but there's an awful lot of cycling tracks planned. Look at the Al Qudra track or the nights that go around the Dubai Autodrome, for example.
And they do the same, don't they?
I mean, there's lots of that there. I mean, I know that doesn't solve a transportation issue, but the impetus is there and the will is there for people to get on their bike, as it were.
I wish you would get on.
Kind of praise. I know. I think probably a lot of people would agree with you, NLT, but there is something in it. I wanted to ask you, Danny, NLT as well. Z, you're here. Do you know what it is today?
St. George's Day?
It is St. George's Day. I didn't realise that till earlier. Something to do with the dragon. I'm not sure. There are, anyway, no, it's Book Day today.
I did know that.
Did you know that?
I was listening to the ticket before we came on air.
Well, there you are. So I just wanted to say, you said last night you've had busy social life recently, haven't you?
And
you've
wedding, not had much
wedding, lots visitors, of friends here, all this sort of thing. So you've not had much time to curl up on the sofa with a good book.
Yeah.
So you're really enjoying a book at the moment.
I am.
What's the book?
I can't. Do you know, this is really terrible. I can't remember what the book's called.
Okay.
And the reason for that is no. It was because it's on my Kindle. So back in the day, So I know, and it's one of a series of books. And back in the day, I would have looked at the book and the cover and the author so frequently. But because it's on my Kindle, I just press a button and continue reading it. So I don't have the same association. With
how many percent have you read
of this one? About 60.
I know, it's weird. That's a peculiar Kindle problem. But then one book that sticks with you that you've loved.
Oh, Crows Over a Wheat Field.
Okay, bye.
Paula Sharp, I think it was. Okay. I read that years and years ago, and it's kind of a family holiday, and you know the books get swapped around. You know, you all bring a couple of books, you swap them around, and I loved it.
And you end up reading something that you wouldn't otherwise have read and think, hold on a minute, I could go in that. Yeah.
I loved it.
Danny, any books that's come to mind?
For me, Crime and Punishment is my favourite fiction by Fyodor Dostoevsky. Although also Gulliver's Travels will be up there as well. That's a fantastic read.
Cool.
When it comes to factual books, Bounce by Matthew Syed, all about the myth of talent.
Okay. Zina Zalameya, sorry. Oh, I'm very impressed. Crime and Punishment coming out. That was good. You're so literate.
I'm currently reading a self-help book called The Whole Brain Child.
Is it working for you?
It is, yeah.
Okay. What have you helped?
I've helped my toddler behave differently. Better, actually.
Has Tegan decided, I'm going to listen because you're reading the book? Is that what it is?
Yes. They offer very clever techniques, which I've applied and I'm very happy with. Right, I can give it to you.
Danziger's Travels, Nick Danziger, he's a guy that decided to travel. He walked over land through Afghanistan when the Soviets were involved in Afghanistan, and he spent a lot of time with the Mujahideen. And it's an amazing story of the man. He basically walked the old Silk Route, but it's a book that I've read I don't know how many times. And then there's another travel book, Jupiter's Travels. I tend to read books that have travels in the title, I think, by a guy who was here. I was going to say Ted Rogers, but that was a different thing. Ted Simon, who was here a couple of years ago for the Lit Fest, I think last year actually, and he motorcycled around the world in the 70s and told the story, but beautifully written. But I think the reason I'm asking is everybody has, I think most people have a book that you immediately identify as something that means something to you.
Yeah.
And it just highlights the importance of reading because, you know, often we don't, do we?
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.